Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Yeah, welcome to the show, and I'm delighted to have with me today, all the way from Georgia, it's Jennifer Warrower. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing great. So for the benefit of people listening that may not have come across you, just tell us a bit about you, your background, and your expertise.
Sure. I had an accounting firm in Kelowna, British Columbia for 12 years, and then I got a call from Sage, and they said, hey, wouldn't it be great if you came and worked at Sage? And I was like, well, I don't really want to sell my firm. But they were very persuasive, and I've been here for the last 11 years. So I head up our partners, accountants, and alliances for Sage. So it's all different kinds of partnerships, everything from strategic alliances like Microsoft and Salesforce to accounting firms to our resellers. So all different partner types.
What do you like about Sage?
The people. Honestly, it's the people and my job because I get to talk to lots of people. I love the ecosystem. I love our partners, and I feel very fortunate to be able to spend as much time as I do out in the field, talking to accountants, talking to business owners, and just helping them be successful. So I have a pretty great job and a great company.
Now, Sage have a global footprint, but they're stronger in some areas than others.
That's right. Yeah. We're in 23 countries, but we're the market leader in most of the countries that we're in. One of the ones that we're actually not is the US, which is where I'm based. But most of the countries that we're in, we are the market leader.
What about the UK?
Yeah, we are market leader in the UK. The competition's heating up, as always, but we're still the market leader.
So when you talk to accounting firms, particularly the large ones, what do you think makes the good firms great?
We've done a lot of research on this. But I think when you look at the firms that are more successful, that have been able to thrive in a time where other firms are trying to find their way, a lot of it comes down to agility and their ability to change and be open to change. And that's everything from adopting new technology, looking at emerging technology, changing the way they serve their clients, how they use technology in their firm. Diversity is one of their core values in the firm. And so when you see all those things come together, it's not one thing. Unfortunately, there's not a silver bullet, but you see a lot of those common traits or common attributes in firms that are really successful.
And has there ever been a more disruptive, changeable time in the profession than right now?
I do not think so. And I think about, you know, you even think about when cloud was emerging and firms were moving to the cloud or their clients were moving to the cloud. And that still is happening, funny enough, right? But it's been a long transition. But they actually, for the most part, businesses and firms were taking a process that was on the desktop and moving it to the cloud. It was disruptive in the way that, you know, now there's anytime, anywhere access, and clients might want to know what's going on in their business at any given time because they think you have the numbers at your fingertips and stuff like that. But it was still very much just moving from on-prem to cloud. It was not as disruptive. I think it's extremely disruptive right now, especially with emerging technology and businesses looking to accountants to say, what does this mean to me? And I think the interesting part is that every single industry is being disrupted. And we always think of kind of the typical tech type companies that use a lot of technology on a day-to-day basis. But I was at a Gartner conference, and one of the industries that they talked about that's being disrupted is golf instruction. You know, that's one person teaching another person how to golf, and it's completely being disrupted by AI. And that was what Google was using to talk about how they're using AI differently in businesses. So I think it's an extremely disruptive time in the profession and in business.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that the large firms are facing right now, particularly if they want to grow?
When I look at the accounting profession landscape overall, larger firms actually are in a better spot for the most part than smaller firms because they have somebody or they have a group of people that's investing in technology and kind of thinking about the future, whereas smaller firms don't have the same resource that they can invest in kind of planning and building for the future. So I think larger firms have a little bit of a head start. Probably the biggest challenge that they're having, you know, I think it's that transformation of the firm itself and what does the new business model look like? And, you know, there's a lot of accountants that are focused more on that transactional reporting on the past. Here's how your business did. Here's what happened last month. And now it's about, okay, so forget that. I have all that information. Where are we going? What does this mean for me in 6 months or 6 years? And where is my business going to go? And it's much more predictive. And I think that's a territory that a lot of accountants, and this isn't just native to large firms, but a lot of accountants are uncomfortable with looking into the future and saying, okay, this is what it's going to mean 5 years from now. And that's been a big transition.
Is there any aspect of the accounting world that's not moved on perhaps as fast as it should do?
There's two things that I would probably call out. One is the smaller firms, because they're still wrapping their minds around moving to the cloud in some cases, and they don't have somebody in the firm that's thinking about the future. They're not a PwC that has a team of people thinking about how AI is going to transform business and what that means to the accounting profession. So I think it's the smaller firms haven't been able to make as much of an investment. When I go and speak at accounting conferences and talk to accountants, I think they're still trying to wrap their minds around what does some of this emerging technology, and I use emerging loosely because a lot of this technology has been around since the mid-1950s, but we're still calling it emerging because it was more for the large companies, the IBMs. But you know, when they talk about AI and machine learning and blockchain, and they're trying to figure out what it means for them, my clients are saying, what does it mean to me? Or if they're an industry, our CEO is saying, what does it mean to me? And they're like, I'm still trying to figure out what it means to me. You know, So it's they're trying to catch up with that. And at the same time, they're being asked to advise on it. So there's a huge opportunity. I mean, I'd say that to accountants when they say, I don't know what the future looks like. Where should I be focusing? I'm like, if you can pick an industry and figure out what this emerging technology means to them, and probably an unlikely industry, how it's going to affect them, I think it's like a golden ticket. I think it's a huge opportunity because most industries don't know.
No, it's a great point. It's interesting you say about the smaller firms, because in some ways, there's a few very innovative small firms here in the UK that are really leading the charge that have been digital since the mid-2000s.
Yeah, so we do certainly run across those. And in some cases, when they started the firm, they started in the cloud, kind of born in the cloud, and lots of them have younger partners in the firm. As an example, at Accountex, I met with firm partner, and he said, you know, I'm a partner in a firm. We're trying to figure out how do we move to the cloud and how do we adopt technology, and we're a smaller firm, so it shouldn't be too tough, but we've been trying for 5 years and we can't get there. And I said, well, how many people are in your firm and how many partners do you have? He said, it's just my dad and I. And I was like, well, that's a whole other problem. You know, it's hard to get family to change, but it's like just one person trying to convince one other person on why they need to change can be harder sometimes in a large firm that has the data and says, this isn't an option. We do need to change. So you have a real mix in that small firm space of people who have already gone there and they're leading the charge, and then firms that are still trying to figure out how to get there.
So you've hinted at it already, Jennifer, but what's really working for successful firms and where do you feel the opportunities are for them?
Specialization or focus on a vertical. When we've seen people specialize and they've figured out what makes an industry tick, where that industry is heading, they can give great advice. We've seen some really successful results. One of the challenges with the amount of technology that's coming to market now and how fast everything is moving is that accountants have a bit of a feeling that they have to be all things to all people. It's like, okay, I've got to learn all this technology. People are asking me about this and that and these apps, and I need to know all this so I can answer their questions. And the firms that have said, I don't need to know everything. I need to go very deep with a vertical or an area of specialty, and that's where I'm going to focus. And I'm going to win more new clients there, and I'm going to give better advice there. And that is golden. And that's where we've seen really great success and very happy customers.
You've been in the game a while now. How is the way firms grow and win business changed over the years, if at all?
Yeah, well, I think about when I had my firm, there was a lot of word of mouth. You know, it still plays a role, but not to the same extent that it used to. And it used to be, you know, you'd say someone starting a business, they'd say, hey, I'm starting a business. Do you know an accountant that's in our area? And they're looking for someone that's in the same city, same town, same state, same province, whatever the case might be. And now the game has changed. And so I think when businesses are looking for firms, they're looking for a firm, you know, if I'm in a specialized industry, I want a firm that can serve my industry. I don't care if they're right down the street or even in a different country, if that's what makes sense. And so the way that firms need to market is not just about building a good brand or reputation in their local area. It's about that online presence and being able to attract clients from all over. I am really passionate about this subject because we do a lot of focus groups with businesses, asking them about the accountant they work with in the firm and what else they do. They do your taxes. What else does that firm do? What other services do they provide? And they're like, pretty much just a tax shop. And then when you go on their website, that's a small portion of what they do, but they haven't even sorted out how to market into their own existing client base. So their clients don't even know that they provide these services.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. Marketing in the accounting profession, it's an interesting challenge.
Well, differentiation is a challenge because to some businesses, an accounting firm is the same as any other accounting firm and there's nothing to choose between them. How are you seeing firms differentiate themselves?
I've seen some interesting business models with firms where, so for example, I've seen some firms that are setting up a more traditional business model or corporate type structure where they're saying, you know, we're going to have somebody like a CMO. We're going to have someone who leads marketing in the firm. We're actually going to have a sales team. We're going to have a different level of customer service. And so instead of that traditional firm model, they're almost setting up that business model and putting an emphasis on areas that other firms aren't great at. I mean, you look at the competitiveness if you're in digital marketing as an example. I mean, everybody in digital marketing, they're brilliant at digital marketing. So trying to get out there and be different than everybody that's so great. In accounting, you do some decent marketing and you can clean up. So there's a lot around online presence and recognizing that it's a lot different than it used to be.
You sound like an evangelist, Jennifer, both for the accounting world and for Sage. What's some of the worst advice or doctrine you've seen being dispensed out there?
Going back to what I said earlier, I think it is about the underlying advice that accountants take from white papers and articles, which is I need to be all things to all people. They're like, I feel like I need to keep up. And as a result, they're going a mile wide and an inch deep. And it's like, you need to go a mile deep and an inch wide. That's probably the most challenging advice. If they're trying to keep up with everything, you know, that's a losing scenario.
Mm. Are you hearing from firms, particularly the big ones, that what's holding them back in growth is finding the right people, the war for talent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what's really interesting is that the millennial generation is the largest generation in the workforce, and accounting firms say, I can't find the right people. There's this war for talent. And it's like, well, tell me about your strategy to attract millennials, the largest workforce that's out there today, into your firm. And it's like, we're still recruiting the way we did 10 years ago. It's like, okay, well, that could be a problem. And then I think, you know, we've had some great discussions and done some great focus groups with that next generation of emerging talent in the accounting profession. And in many cases, up to 75% of the people in one of those focus groups says, I'm looking for another job. The firm that I'm at, I have no visibility into where we're going in the future. I feel like when they go away for a partner retreat, they come back, they don't share, I don't have a voice. And then you talk to the partners in the firm and they say, well, I started in the mailroom. That's where everybody starts. You know, I started at the bottom. They got to do what I do, put in the time. And it isn't what keeps that next generation. That's not what gets them excited about getting into accounting. And it doesn't mean that they need to run the firm right out of the gate, but they're looking to have a voice. And so the firms that can say, we give young talent a voice, we provide the latest technology, you don't have to work on an old desktop PC, you can work on a Mac, they're attracting great talent. But there's a lot of firms that have not evolved their recruiting strategy, and the market has completely moved on.
There's still a lot of old white males running large accounting firms, isn't there?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And in technology in general, it's just amazing how the diversity has not permeated through the profession yet.
Yeah. This is great, Jennifer. What do you think makes a high performer in a large accounting firm? We're hearing in the UK that there are now less accountants entering the profession than are dying or retiring. So the workforce is changing, but still good accountants are out there. So what makes a good performer in a large firm?
You know, it's similar to what makes a good performer in business in general, which is the ability to stand out. And I think it's, you know, what is going to make you different? Are you driving the change that needs to happen in the firm? Because I think there is a lot of value in that. Are you able to go out and recruit the next generation of talent into the firm? And so I think there's a lot that people can bring that isn't part of their day job. It's not part of the job description that can help them stand out and move ahead.
Mm. So get your crystal ball out. What's coming up for big accounting firms, progressive accounting firms over the next few years?
I think there's a lot of work to be done around taking this emerging technology and making it mainstream. The price has come down to the point where it can be mainstream. It's available for everyone. We're taking some of this technology that was typically for large corporations and putting it in the hands of small business owners, and they don't know what to do about it. So I think there's a lot of work for accounting firms in general to figure out, what am I going to do with this technology and how do I take that to businesses and help it make sense to them?
What will Sage's role be in that?
there's two pieces. One is we need to deliver great technology. So it's really important that we're delivering, you know, we have our own AI strategy and how are we taking machine learning into businesses and making it accessible for everyone. But the second part is around business model transformation. And I think with accounting firms, even if they get the technology, as they eventually did with cloud, they don't understand the impact on their business model, especially, you know, smaller firms have struggled with that. And so how do we help take some of the learnings from large firms or firms that have already arrived or are very progressive and help smaller firms be able to adopt that methodology and practice it in their own firm? Mm-hmm. And so I think for us, it's about what does this really mean to a firm and how do you get there? Because it's a big, big thing for firms. They look ahead and they're like, I don't know if I have the energy, especially firms that have been around a while. They're like, how many days till I retire? And then do I have to do this before I retire? Or can I possibly get out before this impacts me? So just walking alongside them and recognizing it's a journey and helping them along that journey.
And I know it said you're not complacent. Is an onslaught coming from Xero and Intuit? How well equipped are you to deal with that going forward?
I think we're really well equipped. I mean, we have added some great products to our cloud portfolio over the last couple of years, and you'll see those products, you know, coming to other markets in the near future. And so
you've kind of been late to the cloud market, haven't you?
We were a little later than we could have been. That is true. But I think we're well poised for the future. We're where we need to be now, but a key is continuing to accelerate pace. It's not about taking our foot off the gas or eye off the ball. It's about continuing to accelerate pace. There's a level of urgency around emerging technology and technology development and how do we help businesses and firms get there. And we need to continue to work with the same urgency that we have over the last couple of years to kind of catch up and to accelerate in the future.
Yeah. And your role personally, do you see yourself as a disruptor and a challenger, or are you a comforter and a diplomat?
I am not a comforter, that is for sure. I love to go and speak at accounting conferences, and I love to speak to accountants because there are thousands of ways to say the same thing. And when you see the light bulb go off, you know, someone who sat through hundreds of presentations, they've been to lots of conferences, and they're like, I don't understand how this affects me or what I can do about it or how I can take advantage of it. And all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and they're like, I just got it. I think I know what my next step or my first step is. That's so rewarding. So I am excited about helping drive change, but you have to meet people where they are. You can't paint this great big picture and be like, go after it. It's like, it's too big. So I love it when people can figure out that first step.
Yeah, you've mentioned change a lot, and we know there's a lot of it about. What advice would you give to people in positions of leadership in large firms that need to drive change forward?
I think it's really important to not look too far ahead and say, this is where we're going to need to be in 5 or 10 years, because there's a lot of people in the firm who the journey looks almost impossible for them. You know, it's like, how are we going to get from where we are to there? And so even as a leader in a firm, painting the picture of the steps along the way and over the next year, the next 6 months, these are the steps that we're going to take and this is going to help us get to the future. Because I think sometimes there's a lot of talk about change, a lot of talk about the future and this vision that's way out there. But what's that going to mean for us in the next year? And so people that do get excited about technology and change like to be that visionary, but it doesn't always bring people along for the ride. So I think making it tangible and real today, saying, with the competencies that we have in our firm today, we have what we need to go forward, but we're going to need to make some changes, and this is what it's going to look like.
Yeah, that's very good. Do you have one or two juicy questions that you like to ask firms when you get in there, just to kick off the conversation about how they're doing and what the challenges are?
I like to ask, are you planning to grow? And most of the firms I visit are like, yes, I'm planning to grow. It's like, tell me about your growth strategy. Like, tell me what you're going to do different. You've been growing at this rate for the last 10 years, and now you want to accelerate that. Tell me about what you're doing for marketing. Tell me about how you're going out to win new business. Tell me about how you're different than the competition. And they're like, well, I don't know. We want to grow. You know, that question opens up. It's like Pandora's box. It's just because there's so much that they maybe haven't thought of or so many things that they haven't planned for yet. So I love to do that. And the other thing I like to ask them is, what do your clients value most about what you do? And they are like, I don't know. And I think what we uncover in that is there's sometimes a gap, and it's the same as everybody. You get so immersed in the day-to-day and you're just getting stuff done that you don't take a step back and say, what do they value and how do I do more of that and less of these transactional services that they don't value? And they don't know. They haven't spent the time with their client. I love to start that conversation and get them thinking that way.
So good. Is there a thinker or a book or a movement that's shaped your philosophy for life and business? You sound like an avid learner.
I am an avid learner. So, you know, I don't think it's one book necessarily or one movement. I think that people deliver great results as a result of what they do every day. It isn't about one magic moment where everything comes together. It's about those right habits. So I've been spending a lot of time reading books about how do you develop those high performance habits in your life, because that's what's going to lead to great success. And there's no shortcut, unfortunately, unless you win the lottery, but the chances are very slim. So
is there anything you believe deeply that other people think is crazy?
People think I'm crazy every day, I think. Like, really, it's like I get really excited about the accounting profession. And I think sometimes when you're out and you're talking with great passion about accountants, they're like, so we're still talking about accountants, right? It's like, yes, it is such an exciting time to be in the accounting profession. Like, I think there's never been more disruption, but there's never been more opportunity. It's a gold mine out there. And so I get really excited. And I think people think I'm a little bit crazy for that.
That's good. Is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years?
I've opened myself up to change my mind on just about anything. And maybe this comes with age or, you know, experience. You have these beliefs that you're so grounded in, you're like so confident. And I've started asking myself more, well, what if that's not true? What if that weren't true? And you're like, no, but it is true. But like, what if it weren't? What would that change? Mm-hmm. And so I think trying to question how things got to be the way they are and how they could change for the future, it gives you a different outlook. And it's also important from a diversity perspective, not being so stuck to your own ways or your own beliefs that you can't see someone else's opinion. So I try and be open to change as much as possible.
What frustrates you most about your job?
I think sometimes you see, and this is the same in every area of life, you see an opportunity that's so great, like a golden ticket for the accounting profession, where it's like, if you could just do these things, and you see it because, you know, I'm spending time with analysts, I'm spending time with Gartner and IDC and CompTIA and all these, and you're getting all of this data and we have all of these surveys and you see the profession from a different level. You're not in it, working it every day. You're looking at it differently and you're so excited. And then when you talk to someone and they don't get it, or they're like, I can't make any change happen. My firm can't go there. I find it frustrating because you're like, but it's right here. It's right in front of you. And you get so passionate and so excited. So sometimes you can see things that other people can't see and you want to talk them into it, if you will.
The despair of being a visionary, eh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that could be it.
Jennifer, this has been great today. Just leave us, would you, with the best piece of advice you've been given in your career that you could pass on to the people listening that may help them?
So probably a piece of advice I got many years ago, it was from Jim Pattison, who has one of the largest privately held companies in Canada. And he said, just remember that it's amazing how far you can go if you don't care who gets the credit. And I think sometimes when you have success as the ambition, you know, in some cases you want that success to be attributed to you. And it's like at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is get a result. And however you get there and whoever gets the credit, it doesn't matter. You just want to get to that end outcome. So that has served me very well.
Love it. Jennifer, this has been terrific. If people want to find out more about you, open a conversation with you, how might they get in touch?
So I am all over social media. I love social media. So I'm on Twitter at Jennifer Worawa. That is a great place to get me. LinkedIn or jennifer.worawa@sage.com.
Well, that's been world class. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.